try to do it now and have a schedule that would permit that now. Believe me, if there's something that becomes clear before this legislature adjourns, we'll be back to a substantive committee if we can get in one. I realize we're going to be beyond deadlines and so forth, but I don't have any problem with that at all. I just don't want to commit to doing that after having this problem for this short length of time. 1 year budget's fine. I would, I don't think it makes any difference whether you say 1 year or two. I am committed to try to find some kind of a solution to this so there's some stability in the program, whatever size it is, long before a year elapses. I don't think we can go on borrowing money from whatever source and so forth. I mean, that just isn't any way to run this company. And I don't want to be committed to an interim study that will surely take a year or two. I don't want to push the solution out that long.
But the interim study could be launched, now during session. The questions could be shaped and formed by a substantive committee on each in each house.
And let me say this,
finished please. Off, early in the interim.
Please consider this. The management of this division, and I'm not speaking of the division administrator who's been there 7 months, the management of commerce, let's put it that way, is not in a position today to even begin that conversation on the kind of basis that you'd want to do it on. I want to have some time to get some information and some work done before that even commences. And I want to emphasize that to you. If you just start in the middle of the problem with 27 ideas and don't give us a chance to get some work done first, I think it makes it longer and more chaotic. So I'm in favor of a shorter time frame. I want a shorter work plan, if you can believe that, than a year. And I'd like a little room before we start.
Mr.
Senator Hannah.
Maybe I should pose this question to one of the co-chairs over there. To give Mr. Long the necessary time to get on with the commerce budget, maybe it would be appropriate if we were to break commerce out, or the financial institutions out, as a separate budget item, to give us the time to make sure that he has the ability to act and we have the financing in which to move over. My concern, I have a question I want to pose for Mr. Weeks, and that is, I'm concerned about borrowing money from one group and not paying interest. I believe it's really fiscally irresponsible not to at least pay something back in some manner. We used this money from barbers and hairdressers last session for a scholarship commission. Next session it'll be for the racing commission. I mean, we're just playing with something, and I think that we need to take a responsible role. If we're going to use it as a method of financing a shortfall, then I think we should also face up the responsibility that accompanies that money was paid in by those people licensed under that board, and we are the caretakers of those funds. And that doesn't mean that we should use it without taking appropriate action to repay some form of interest for using it.
Maybe I can make a suggestion without having to send it for me to see right now. I am shocked at what I've heard, and not comfortable with either the recommendation coming from Department of Commerce or from Legislative Fiscal Office. In this case, I think Mr. Weeks, if you tried valiantly, has failed to satisfy us. He's got a lot of work to do, Gary, in putting together the budgets for final processing by full committee. The cuts that we made in ASSD have to be translated not only through the divisions, but back into the bill that we sent out on the boards. So that's going to take a while to crank through. I think the questions that we've raised here concerning who should be involved in this study and how long it should take are going to involve some of our colleagues, possibly presiding officers, I don't know. Discussions will have to occur, and I frankly want to be able to think about it and not make any final decision here today. Okay. Is that acceptable?
Chairman, I'm saying that, you legitimately can't resolve this question today, and so Mr. Weeks has tried to give us an alternative. At least it gives a couple of extremes. I think your subcommittee needs to realize that you pretty much worked the Commerce Division.
Yeah.
And as long as you can have an understanding that you're not going to go in and reinvent the wheel on the other budgets, and I wouldn't, if I were in your position, tolerate that. As long as there's an understanding on the subcommittee that all that's left is this issue, then I think you can buy yourself sufficient time to see if, in fact, the Commerce Director, working with you and our fiscal office and whoever else we want to bring into the discussion, can resolve this. I personally would be, if I had to prioritize what's before you, I think I want to move away from a one-year budget concept. I mean, it just seems to me that the system is geared in a way that we ought to encourage, once the budget is completed, that the management take over and run it for the biennium. So maybe the best thing going for us now is just a little bit of time. Obviously, there's a little disagreement on what has to be done in the short run. And so
major disagreement, eliminating the administrator of the division.
But that can be resolved. That can be resolved. That's not impossible to resolve. So what you really have before you is how you structure the budget for the coming biennium. At least you've come much further at this point than where I thought we were going to be at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock when you started. As long as your subcommittee will agree, and I would encourage them to agree that everything else is done and that it linger here, not that we're going to go into anything else.
Does the subcommittee consider all the other issues closed? Subcommittee. You consider the other issues closed, the other divisions.
Oh, that's right. Divisions. Yeah.
No rating, no revisiting. Okay.
That's fine.
The Commerce understands no rating. Decisions that have been made. Everybody's happy.
Okay. So now you have it down to what the problem is, and you can buy yourself some time.
Just an $800,000 gap.
This problem remains before us, unfortunately.
Okay.
Mr. Browner would like to be invited to testify. I'd like to do that. Mr. Browner.
Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee, I would bring to your attention Senate Bill 147, which was heard this afternoon in Consumer and Business, Senator Hill's committee. That bill speaks to the assessment process for all of the institutions that are regulated by this division. Our testimony was that the date certain for all of those divisions should be April 15th rather than spread throughout the year. We're not sold on April 15th, but I do think, and did bring it to Mr. Weeks' attention, that bill could assist in the cash flow in moving ahead some collections. We assess by statute on a calendar year basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, we believe that all divisions ought to pay their annual assessment at the same time. Call that to your attention, and also apprise the committee that it wasn't the barbers and hairdressers that benefited from the raid on the banking fund when it was $1.2 million about four sessions ago. It was the general fund that upset our tin can for 18 months, and there was no interest paid to the banking division fund at that time, so perhaps we're overdue for an interest payment. I thought you should find that interesting. We did have a tin can once that had some money in it.
And it got
kicked
over, didn't it?
Senator Wires?
Could I ask the administrator if he would provide the committee so I could have a copy of the kinds of figures you're giving about
yes,
the assets
like
and number of examiners? And I would also like the information that Mr. Weeks was giving us about the man days to examine a bank and so on, so we can get some idea of what we're looking at from his point of view about the amount of workload and those figures you were giving
us. The figures that you were giving us, we wanted to copy.
The man days? Mr.
Well,
Meeks has those, Chairperson.
Do you?
Those to him last
and
time.
The,
Yes, sir. We already had it.
Okay. So we'll have that made available to us. Well.
Time frame.
I think it'll take a couple of weeks before this could ever get to full committee, just as it is, with
not the problem of the Financial Institutions Division, but maybe we can resolve it in a couple of weeks. We're coming to some direction.
I don't think that will particularly stall the work on commerce just because of the technical time involved in putting together one of the 27 units.
Very complex bill, so.
Could I ask the director a question? You heard what the fiscal office had recommended as related to the short-term problem. In your estimation, does the alternative that's been presented versus the alternative that you presented in your mind create opportunity for early reconciliation of the two? Do you see those approaches being substantially far enough apart that we're going to spend a lot of time just getting over that hurdle?
No, Senator Thorne. No. If I had to choose today, frankly, I'd choose Mr. Weeks' alternative. And the only hesitation I'd have about it, I mean, I think it's a constructive suggestion and a good one, and said so to him and tried to say so earlier to the committee and may have muddled it. Our proposal was 4 examiners. His is 5. I like trying to get some more money out of supplies and services. And a couple things have happened since we did this last week, sort of under the gun. We've learned some more about our leasehold space and some other space that's available and so forth. I think that's a better system. I didn't like cutting the administrator's position, Senator Thorne.
So the committee then at least knows that that's not that difficult. So your challenge really rests on putting the budget together for the balance of the triennium. And I do believe that if we possibly can structure something that will carry us through the biennium, it's better than one-year budget if you're looking for what I would think would be a priority. But that's something we'll just have to see what the next couple of weeks does.
Well, if Mr. Long is comfortable working with Mr. Weeks, I think they're pretty close in being able to agree on the short term, i.e. a biennium.
I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to see this information put together with Mr. Weeks' information showing what the changes will be and what the workload changes are in terms of how much work the examiners can do under what they've got now and what they'd be able to do under this proposal. This 4 and 5 you're talking about is subtracting from 18. Mm-hmm. 5 from 18.
Mr. Weeks' proposal takes 5 examiners of 2 different classes, and ours was 4. You know, that's a judgment call, and it's a trade-off. And as I say, you know, he can persuade me that his program is right, and maybe I can persuade him that mine is right. It doesn't make any difference. You know, you'd argue with somebody in the morning, and you'd switch positions in the afternoon. It's that close.
Mr. Chairman, I would not recommend that you put it in a situation where the negotiations is all between the fiscal office and the director. At some point, the committee will
want to decide. Come back here. Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I think I almost led us into that spot. At some point, there will be a series of questions that there are probably disagreement, and it's this committee that ought to decide those, and not the fiscal.
But I'd like to see them work towards where we're looking at the same kind of budget reductions, and with decision points to come back. Yeah.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Wire.
Problem I've got is the threshold one, as I've said before. If somebody's going to need to show me, with the bank crisis not having lessened, why it's defensible to reduce one banking
system. That indeed is the toughest problem. And the second one, I don't want you to think that it's just a question of cuts and so forth that's on our mind. You know, this program may be out of scale, you see. It may be out of scale in the sense that we ought to find some other way to do the work or some way to combine the work or combine the functions so it's more affordable for the industry. And I mean, I'm not saying that's where we're headed, but that deserves some attention. It's obvious to me when you look at a reduction from 53 to 28 proposed by people of good faith over that short a period of time, something's out of scale.
That's for sure. You had indicated earlier you were going to find an opportunity to talk to other states. You might be able to get a handle then on what's considered the proper ratio.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wires makes a valid point. I had thought, at some point I heard the director indicate that one of the alternatives in overcoming the concern of God is the opportunity to look at piggybacking and auditing with other auditing activities, and it may be that that's part of the solution to the problem.
That may be longer than 2 weeks.
But, Mr. Chairman,
I think the time is here for us to get it resolved.
There is an opportunity that Senator Thorne's pointed out through the shared examination program with the feds that we ought to be looking at, and I think the bank
may answer part of your question. We may just be sharing information rather than having to generate it all on our own. Which
good, and I'm going to have a crash course now in banking. But we've got all the knowledge that this huge investigation we had just in the interim before last session, where we've got the members still here who did that, who should be able to tell us what bank examiners did or should have done, and what they could have done, and whether they were needed at all. What I keep reading in the newspaper is there were a lot of things there that somebody should have seen sooner. Yeah. And if that's the case, we're going to have to come up with something pretty definite to what we're going to do. And just cutting. Anyway, I'm repeating myself.
That probably not have had to do with the quantity of bank examiners.
Might have been a management problem.
Right.
Of course, I reminded the old story of the peddler whose horse died, and you kicked him and said, "Just when I taught you to do the work without eating at all, you had to go and die on me." Yeah. There's that, too.
There is that, too. Okay, so we have an agreement amongst us that the Department of Climate's budget's closed except for this issue. We have some work to do fairly fast. Thank everyone for their attention and patience.
Thank you.
For adjourn.
Public Safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting, February 11, 1987, 1:30 p.m., Room H174.
Okay, the Public Safety Subcommittee of Joint Ways and Means will come to order. Today we will have public hearings on two bills, both of them relating to the Columbia River Gorge Commission, and both of them altering the existing commission to comply with the recent federal act. So I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2472, and Mr. Jeff Greppel is scheduled to testify. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'd like to present House Bill 2472. This is a rather simple and I think rather straightforward bill. Basically what it does is it establishes approves a bi-state compact with the state of Washington to create a bi-state Columbia River Gorge Commission. That commission was authorized by Congress in the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area Act, signed into law on November 17th of last year. In establishing this commission, we essentially take part in a partnership arrangement that the framers of the federal bill have provided for. It was their opinion, members of the congressional delegation, that management of the Columbia River Gorge should be conducted as a partnership of local, state, and federal interests. To provide for that, the bill authorizes the creation of this commission. It also provides very definitive information on the composition of that commission, where the members should be selected, who shall make those appointments. And this bill before you today simply puts that direction from that federal bill into place. It is virtually identical with a bill that is making its way currently through the House of Representatives in the state of Washington. That bill was forwarded to that Rules Committee yesterday and will probably be on the floor of the Washington House here in the next several days. Okay.
the bill was amended substantially by the House Environment and Energy Committee. Basically, it was rewritten.
Yes.
By the proposers of the legislation as well as by the committee. You reviewed those amendments. Do we have those amendments for the committee members in here? Okay. Yeah, here they are. House amendments to House Bill 2472. That's really the bill, dated February 10th.
This is the bill.
So you wouldn't look at the other bill. You'd look at these House amendments because they wholly altered the bill.
Again, Mr. Chairman, most of the provisions of this bill are, again, excerpts from the Federal Act. The Federal Act is very specific in how this compact must be structured. It indicates that the state agreement must reference the Federal Act, that it must empower federal, state and local agencies in this commission with the power to operate under this particular act. The discussion within HB 2472 with regard to the appointment of commission members is language that is virtually lifted from that federal act. The items that there are a number of housekeeping items in there. One would be to terminate the existing gorge commissions.
Uh-huh.
It would also provide for a transfer of the assets of the existing commission to the new commission. Basically, housekeeping items in this particular instance. Again, I think the impetus here is whether or not the state and local jurisdictions will play a role under this act. If this commission is not created, the federal act still remains in effect. However, the Forest Service will be the only management entity overseeing land uses and resource uses in the Columbia River Gorge. The state and local governments will not have an active voice. This bill provides for a very strong state and local voice in making those decisions within the gorge. In a number of instances, actually gives the commission authority to override the secretary in a number of the decision-making areas. Without this commission, we also forego the opportunity to secure the $35 million in federal monies authorized to the states of Oregon and Washington. $10 million, that's $5 million to each state for economic development, $10 million for the development of Forest Service recreational facilities, $10 million for the establishment of a interpretive center in the state of Oregon and a conference center in the state of Washington, $2 million for special payments to local governments in lieu of taxes, and I believe about $2.8 million for restoration and reopening of the old Columbia River Highway in Oregon. So there are some sizable funds, federal funds authorized for this particular.
And those funds become available when the planning is done by the commission in accordance with the Federal Act, is that correct?
Those funds are available for expenditure upon the completion of a management plan by the commission and the implementation of that management plan by the local jurisdictions through their own land use ordinances. The establishment of the commission is really the first and crucial step in starting that process. Without the bi-state commission, there won't be a management plan, and the other steps simply do not follow.
Okay, so local government really is involved in adopting the plans, and the commission does research and planning in conjunction with them, provides information to the counties, etc.
The commission works jointly with the Forest Service to prepare a management plan for the area. That plan entails development of land use designations and guidelines. Those would be forwarded to the local jurisdictions for their incorporation in their land use ordinances. The commission and the Forest Service would then review those land use ordinances for consistency with the management plan and approve them. Once that is done, the implementation of the act is largely through the local ordinances being administered by the counties. The Forest Service would forego at that point in time any condemnation authority so long as the local jurisdictions implemented those ordinances.
Okay. Representative Jones.
Are these general funds?
Yes. The idea is for the states to expend general funds. This is a biennial budget.
No, are we going to be stuck with this general fund thing the rest? examiners were alive?
No, I don't believe so. Do you want to answer that question? Will we have to continually appropriate general funds forever?
The operation of the commission is an obligation of the two states. And I think there will be a continuing general fund requirement, but I think that that requirement falls off very sharply once the management plan is done and the local ordinances are adopted. The commission's role changes at that point in time into one of more of an oversight agency, following the actions of local jurisdictions, hearing appeals, and periodically updating the management plan. And I think when we get into discussing the budget in particular, the heaviest burden for state funding is within that first biennium because of the startup costs and the work dictated by the Act.
Is it fair to make a guess as to what the next request, the future year request on down the road would be? Could we expect to cut this in two or something like that?
I don't think that we would expect a reduction quite that high with in the next biennium. I would think we might anticipate a reduction of as much as 20 to 25%.
We have 3 years, correct, in order to carry out.
3 years to
then at the end of the 3 year period.
Right.
That's quite a load.
Great.
At the end of the 3 year period, the management plan is completed. Then we enter the process whereby the local jurisdictions will incorporate that management plan into their ordinances, and the commission will be reviewing those management plans. Once that is completed, and that process, depending on the adequacy of the local plans when submitted, could take anywhere from 4.5 to 6 years.
Three biennia, possibly, Representative Jones, which is a long time, but not forever.
Well, forever is quite
and decreasing amounts. And of course, one legislature isn't biting on another. The case will have to be made. In this case, of course, this is on the governor's 60-day agenda. Yes, Representative Jones.
One more question, Mr. Chairman. What does this? Are you familiar with this? What does this do with the existing private facilities along the gorge, such as the Multnomah Falls facility over under the hill there? Are there restrictions on them or the use of them?
Multnomah Falls Lodge, for example, that is an existing Forest Service facility that's run by a concessionaire. This bill would really have no effect on that particular operation.
It wouldn't have effect on any of those kind of facilities, private facilities.
With regard to existing land uses, the Federal Act states that those uses are grandfathered in place. There are two exceptions, surface mining operations and sanitary landfills, which the Forest Service at this point in time, until the commission is approved, has the authority to condemn.
Okay. So all existing land uses?
All existing land uses, with the exception of
our grandfather did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you the person to ask about some details?
Certainly.
Why an annual audit?
Why an annual audit?
Uh-huh. Is that something required by the state of Washington, or would you just thought of it? Or?
It really is I think, a provision that was included in a draft bill by the Washington State Attorney General's office. I think that is a good question. I don't know that there is any requirement for an annual audit by the state of Washington. Existing commission financial records are audited once a biennium.
Right. We'll check that. See how important it is to the state of Washington. Then in Section 5 of the amendments, it talks about employees being part of the Oregon Public Employers Retirement System, and then it says, or as employees under a similar retirement system provided by the state of Washington. What kind of language does the state of Washington have?
Basically the same language.
So it names their particular employees retirement system, and then it says, or a similar system in Oregon.
Or a similar system in Oregon. I think the rationale behind that is that it allows us the flexibility then to determine in setting up the commission just how we will employ those commission members. If I might use as an example the existing commission, the two existing Gorge Commissions, the Oregon Gorge Commission and the Washington Gorge Commission, maintain a joint office and staff. That staff is our Washington State employees and are subject to the Washington State retirement system. Oregon, by a joint operating agreement, funds half of that cost. So essentially, for a sense of convenience and administrative ease, we've made Washington the fiscal agent for the two existing Gorge Commission's operations. Something very similar will probably be done for this commission as well.
I was just wondering if we maybe shouldn't specify the name of the Washington system, but words or similar to disturb me, because I can think of some litigation that we might be subject to. If an employee, say, wanted to compare the other benefit plans that an employee might, under this statutory language, say, well, the Washington plan isn't good enough, it's just similar enough from the Oregon. That concerns me just a little bit. So, Representative Jones.